When I came out to film with you guys, Tango had just been recording throughout the night, and he was like, listen to this. And I put it on, and it was just like a voice whispered, Tango. Oh, and that, it like gave me chills. I was like,
Welcome, Mythfits.
Hey there, Mythfits. Welcome to another episode. It is Halloween. It is like my favorite time of year.
And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Yes, this is my favorite time of the year. As soon as it hits as soon as we hit October, I'm like, I start getting fired up. Obviously. Hello.
Obviously. You're wearing a Halloween t-shirt. Shirt on. I like that. It's and very also thematic.
I got my Mythfits merch. I got my hat.
Yeah. We do have merch now. I like your Mythfits cap.
We're closing in on Halloween. What are you? Do you have a costume this year?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm back to, since I have a teenage daughter now, I can get scarier. So I'm thinking of maybe doing something a little bloody. I will definitely post something if I do it and it's good. Like you'll see it.
I keep going. I'm debating between going as the Shining family and cut
scary
my
movie.
Daughter's hair to look like Danny. The other one I'm thinking is Road Warrior.
Oh,
my daughter is like that kid from the movie. Do you remember the little feral child who just jumps around and like throws the metal boomerang? That is my daughter.
I love
She's a maniac. So I'm
and
just
she just have like messy hair, be a crazy dirty little
make
thing.
Make her a little fur outfit and give her a little metal boomerang, and then I'll dress up like Mel Gibson.
So she's not at the age where she is exerting her own will into her costume, like I want to be a princess.
She likes ghosts, she likes skeletons, so she's definitely leaning a certain direction, you know, the classic spooky stuff.
Nice. Don't get trapped in princess world. It lasts for too many years. Well, you know, in honor of our guests today, because we are talking to some ghosty guests, we will reveal later. I was wondering if you have any ghost stories, anything that you want to tell.
You know what? Like my family, they have these stories that they've told us. One is my uncle. He died at a very young age in a car wreck, and he was probably like in his early 20s. He had this watch that never worked. And as soon as they put it on his wrist in the casket, it started working.
No.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's weird.
You know, my family lore also comes from an early death in the family. So my dad used to tell these stories. And if you knew my dad, Dennis was a little bit of a big fish story. So they got better and better over the years. So I will retell this. I will never tell it as good as he does, especially towards like, as he got older, the story got better. But I've had this story retold from many cousins. And, you know, my favorite aunt, my great aunt Betty, this story is about her. So my aunt Betty, I've got a picture right here. This is her right around the time she got married. She was just such a cool lady. Her and Uncle Jim were driving in a car, and this car went around a corner, went out of control, and started to go off a cliff. Uncle Jim opened the door and pushed her out before he went over the cliff with the car and died.
Is that a what?
That,
How
yeah,
have
it's
I
a real
never
story.
Heard this story?
This is her first husband, Uncle Jim.
I know, and, but this is the first time I've ever heard you tell this story. That is crazy.
I can't believe Dennis never told you this story. So this is Uncle Jim was like the love of her life.
Okay.
And she said that every night when she would lay down, she could feel a weight beside her, like where he used to sleep. And every night she just felt Uncle Jim there to the day that she met her next husband, Uncle Rocky, and she heard him whisper, I know you're going to be okay. And then he was gone. The crazy thing is that my dad swears, like, people would constantly say they could see Uncle Jim walking through parties. Like that they would see him at parties because like he was always with her. And, you know, she's
creepy.
She was like an interesting lady. Like she was definitely somebody who believed really hard in all this stuff. But like it became such family lore that everybody saw Uncle Jim. I never saw Uncle Jim. But the story was so cool. The story of everlasting love.
That just gave me chills.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You know, my old boss had this great story where his mother she loved Christmas. And so decorated all the time. The whole house was just, you know, she was like Christmas decorations everywhere. And on her deathbed, they were all home, you know, because she was at home dying. They were all in her room. And he took a break, went into the living room. And he said he sat down on the couch and all of a sudden the Christmas tree lights went out. And then he went back in and she had just passed. Coincidence? Maybe.
Yeah.
I just think it's a nice, it's like, she's like, the lights are out. I'm going home.
It's a great story. I mean, Aunt Betty, she lived into her 80s. And, you know, she's the one I think I mentioned on that podcast we did with Caitlin, the death influencer.
Yeah.
That she was the one that I had a secret password with, that she knew she was dying. You know, she was on oxygen and she said, I will come back and haunt you because she really wanted me to believe in the afterlife. And she just was like, you don't like, I will haunt you because like her husband had haunted her and she wanted to make me a believer. I'm still waiting for Aunt Betty. I talk about her often.
That's like Houdini. Houdini had a code word that he could tell if a medium was telling the truth or not. And
that's where I got it from.
Apparently they were all fake. So anyway, the reason we're talking about ghost stories, because we have some really good friends of ours that we've known for years, and they happen to be ghost hunters. Actually, the OG ghost hunters.
The ghost hunters. I'm so excited to talk to Steve and Jason. I haven't talked to them in so long. You guys got to stick around for this. Ghost hunters meet the Mythbusters.
You know, life can get stressful sometimes, and when that happens, things don't work properly. And that is where Rougeette Golong comes in. This isn't just another ED pill. You know what those two letters stand for. It's a confidence game changer. Golong combines two doctor-trusted medications in one dual-action formula to help you go the distance. You know what I'm talking about, right? Plus, effects last for up to 36 hours, which means you can feel confident all day and night, and then some. Getting started is simple. Connect with a board-certified doctor 100% online at rugiet.com. That's rugiet.com. If prescribed, your treatment ships discreetly to your door. Ready to level up your confidence in the bedroom? Head to rugiet.com and use my promo code MythBits for 15% off your first order. That's rugiet.com and use code MythFits to get 15% off. Make sure to use our code so they know we sent you. Welcome back to MythFits. You guys, we have a couple of friends of ours. We've known these guys for like almost 20 years. The original ghost hunters, Steve Gonzalez and Jason Haas. How the heck are you guys?
Doing good. How are you guys? It's been forever.
I mean, you guys are the trailblazers. You are the OG original.
The ghost old guys? Hunters. OG, old guys?
We've been around the block, a few blocks, maybe.
A few times. Dude,
we got to let everybody know how we all met. The first time Carrie and I met Steve was at a convention, Game Con or something, and it was
Gen Con.
Gen Con. Yeah, Gen that was the Con. First time we met you. And then the next one was at Dragon Con. That's where we met you, Jason. And the reason we all know each other is because we had the same booking agent. Remember that guy?
We did. Yeah, good times.
That's a story for another time. He was shady.
Yeah, I mean, shady is an understatement. I mean,
shady. I mean, he literally pretended to have a terminal illness to escape.
Well, and then during the convention, you know, he ended up taking our box of stuff and he's like, I'm going to go make sure everything's accounted for. Yeah. All right.
He's still selling that stuff online. And by the way, I don't know if he did this to you guys, but he had his assistant, who was him with another voice, calling me, asking me to send naked Polaroids because Playboy wanted to publish them and it'd be really good for my career.
Oh, I'm God. Like, no, he didn't. He didn't pull that one to me, but I pulled that same thing on Steve, though.
Yeah, that's how I joined Taps. I had to send him naked pictures.
Why do you think it's called Taps?
Yeah. It almost got him divorced at one point.
But almost got me remarried, though.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So you guys were the original ghost hunters. How did you get started ghost hunting? And were you doing that before your show?
Oh, long before. Steve and me, we were hanging out for, geez, a decade before the show. We just investigated claims of the paranormal. I had my own experience. Steve had his. And so it was the internet was pretty much kind of brand new. And Steve had reached out to me and we met up and started hanging out.
I remember there was a team that everybody was talking about called Rhode Island Paranormal. And I got in touch and it was Jay. And although we didn't start working together right away, we stayed friends, talked about ghosts all the time, talked about cases. And then we started hanging out and was like, hey, this is dumb. Let's work together. Like, what are we doing? That's pretty much how it went down.
But I remember we'd go to conventions and fans would come up and be like, oh my God, Ghost Hunters, Mythbusters. I'm like, I don't know which one to watch tonight because you guys are on at the same time on Wednesday. And yeah. It's this big battle between me and my girlfriend. What are we going to watch tonight? And it's so funny how like we had the same demographic, like we had the same audience.
If they staggered our time slots, we probably would have doubled each other's ratings.
Honestly, you know?
Because for a while, DVR didn't count.
Yeah. So when you were investigating on your show, how many investigations debunked the ghosts versus actually something that you felt like you found some evidence?
Well, see, the way it was, we would go out and we'd just investigate our cases. And the first season, they only got the investigations that we did because we are still all working our normal jobs. And so, of course, those we were able to debunk a lot of those. Then further on in the seasons, when they started ordering 25, 26 episodes a season, we decided where we go. We decided where we'd investigate. Of course, they decide what shows air on their network. So we'd be filming all year long and they would decide which of the cases that they aired. So they would always have a ton of cases that they never aired. So, I mean, we still look at it that the majority of all cases we go to, we're able to debunk and it has nothing to do with the paranormal.
Why do you think a paranormal investigation is so popular? Like you guys were you were the first ones to put it on air. And then after you guys, then it was just like copycat after copycat. And like,
well,
just...
I wouldn't even say copycat. Everybody tried to one up us and they honestly, they never did. They never could. I mean, we are the highest rated paranormal show still to this day in history. But everybody tried to like, oh, now everybody's got a demon. Everybody's haunted. Everybody's, you know, becoming possessed. I think the paranormal can connect to everybody because the para is just a Greek word for beyond. So it's beyond the normal of what we're used to. And bottom line is we all die. So what's after this? So I think that intrigues everybody and everybody's looking for those answers, whether they're younger and they're wondering what comes after or they're older and they're getting closer to that point. So, and then I think just the way we did it, we were always looking for the truth, no matter what that truth was. If it's paranormal, great. If it's not, then we're going to be honest about that as well. So I think that's what always set us apart.
Tori, do you remember one time you played a recording for me that was supposed to be ghosts? We were doing an event and you played a recording for me and you're like, do you hear those voices? And like, you totally heard something and I heard nothing. And we were just laughing over it for so long because we've always like Mulder and Scullied it. Like you're more likely to believe and I'm more likely not to believe. But I remember hearing this recording and you're like, right there. Like, are you guys getting clear voices when you're doing this? Like, are you actually hearing something that you can really discern, or is it objective?
Sometimes we do. We get, and the best are when they're direct responses to the questions that you've asked. So I don't care for something if we're doing something and you catch a weird voice just saying something that doesn't have any connection. But when we're asking questions and you catch a direct response that correlates with the question you asked, I mean, that's some pretty incredible evidence.
Well, I remember when I came out to film with you guys, Tango had just been recording throughout the night and he was like, listen to this. And I put it on and it was just like, you know, Steve and he were just like walking around and all of a sudden a voice whispered, Tango. Oh, and that, yeah. it like gave me chills. I was like, I was like, God dang, that was creepy.
It's funny because I was just I just was going through my TikTok videos the other day, and it was the investigation that we were on where that weird head was in the window.
Yeah,
that you were with. And yeah. I'm like, and I pan over to it. I'm like, what the hell? And we're trying to fly the drone in to figure out what if it was an actual human body.
Yeah, that was creepy.
You're gonna have to put up some little TikToks or put up some social posts of your interaction with Tori so that we can actually go back down memory lane of that experience.
Well, some of it's Tori making fun of me because of bats. So
perfect.
Yeah. A lot of it.
Yeah, quite a bit. You didn't forget your audio was still rolling. So I got to hear everything you said, you bastard. So no.
But you know what was creepy? There was one moment because, you know, the whole time I went into it, I mean, being very skeptical, you know, because of our science, yeah. You know, we're science enthusiasts. So it's like, you know, there is no such thing as ghosts. So going into it, I was very skeptical, but there was one moment where we were going up to like the top floor of this old hospital. And apparently this is where like nuns lived or something like, or, yep. You know, and we walked up the stairs and it felt like somebody had blew into my ear. It was like, and I was like, ugh. And I turned the flashlight against the wall thinking that there would be like a hole where like, you know, some wind had blown through, but there was nothing there. And then when we got to the top, the cameraman said something just blew into my ear. So we were like, we're out of here later.
I mean, creepy's creepy. When you go into those places, like I would be terrified just walking into an old dark house, especially if there are bats. But like, are you ever just, I mean, are you scared the whole time you're there? Or after a while, is it just like, ah, it's another haunted house?
I think by the living's what scares us.
Oh yeah. Squatters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even sometimes the people you're going to help, because you never know what's really going on. We had a situation where we went and investigated and this lady had a loaded shotgun behind her door, a 357 under her bedroom pillow. And she was on a list of prescription pills.
Geez.
And her issue wasn't paranormal. It was psychological. And the sad part is her family was enabling and they were just fueling it. We got her help, psychological help, but it was too late because the family just enabling her, and it's sad, but she ended up taking her own life. It's so you never know what's, and that same lady was accusing me of being there a week prior and sleeping on her couch for like 3 days and all these weird things, sitting there petting a ghost cat. And the list just went on and on. So, but I mean, Steve, you remember that was a tough case because you're trying to help her out as much as we could.
It that's true. And as much as, you know, TV is fun and we're so lucky that we get to be a part of that whole world and doing all of that, we really do help people and try to help them. And if getting down to it means it's not a ghost, then that really is, you know, the mission. And whether that makes for a good episode or not, quite honestly, was always secondary to us. You know, it was, and you know, I get a little bit of some flack and rightfully so. I do get into things I probably shouldn't, but I'll be on cases and, you know, I do open drawers and doors and medicine cabinets and in bedrooms, in living rooms, wherever there's a drawer, I'm opening it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you have to, because that's where you find that there are these different things that they are being influenced by. That's where, you know, they tell us, we've never seen your show, but then you see every, you know, copy of Ghost Hunters ever made in their drawer. You know, like that stuff happens.
Steve, yeah. Saying this, yes, but you don't have to push somebody's VHS tape into the VCR at somebody's house that they made their own private home tape that you're now watching.
Yeah.
Listen, All I know is
that happened.
What? Wait.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Take me back. So you are investigating and there happens to be a videotape in a VCR and you pushed it in and you saw some intimate times?
Well, we saw the clients. Yeah, the people who called us in. Yeah, we saw them in a whole new light. That's for damn sure. Geez. Well, actually, very, very well lit. Yeah. So, yeah. And then we were asked to investigate Graceland. And their one thing was, does Steve have to come? Because we don't want him to touch all the stuff. And I was like, damn, well, Steve has to come. So, because Steve's notorious for touching crap.
Wait. You investigated Graceland?
We were asked to. We never did.
You didn't? Why wouldn't you do that?
Because Steve has an issue of touching everything. Next thing I know, he's going to be driving pink Cadillac down the friggin' road.
You couldn't cuff Steve and still go to Graceland? Like, see Elvis's ghost, see the toilet, see the whole thing? That is so great. I would say yes.
You honestly think cuffing Steve was an option? I mean, that's not going to happen.
If they ever ask you back to Graceland to find Elvis's ghost, call me. I just want to go. I think that'd be really fun. I promise not to touch anything. Wait, have you seen things? I mean, like legit seen things, like things going up and down stairs, like actual, because I'm a huge skeptic. When I was a kid, I've always been a sleepwalker, a sleep talker, someone who I would wake up and not be awake, but my eyes would be open and I'd be walking around and I'd see extra stuff. And so I used to always see things that I thought were ghosts as a kid. And to this day, I'm still kind of, I have this sleep problem where, like, even the other night, my daughter got woken up because I'm going, ah! And screaming something, and started screaming, "Who are you?" Because I was dreaming that there was a person looking through my window. But once she woke me up, like everything, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I was sleeping. So for me, I went from, as a kid, totally believing in ghosts to, as I got older, kind of, you know, finding out that I am a sleepwalker, sleep talker, and this is stuff that my brain was doing to me. Like, I'm dying to see an actual real piece of evidence to show me that there's an afterlife, to give me that sort of possibility. Like, what are the things that you, like, that convince you?
Well, I'm not sure if things convince us. I mean, there's definitely, I think we can all agree that the paranormal exists. All that being is beyond the normal of what we're used to. So now, what is it? Is it a ghost? Is it an overlapping in time? Because you get different types of hauntings. I mean, we've dealt with hauntings over the last two decades, which seem to have picked up a lot more, which seem more like a time slip, where they're living a normal day in their lives. We're living a normal day in our lives, just in different times. So they're still, we did the Mount Washington Hotel. We caught a voice of a lady talking about getting security. And now it was only us in the hotel. She's talking about going and getting security. Well, if she's a ghost, how is she doing that? So, but if she's living a normal day in her life and she's going to go get security, and for whatever reason, the time's overlapping, that explains a lot more of that type of a haunting. So now, does it fall within a ghost? No, but it falls within the paranormal, because again, it's just our time, their time, it's overlapping for whatever reason, and we're able to hear each other at that point.
It's like a Schrodinger's cat's kind of moment where, like, it's
exactly. Is a cat alive or dead? And, you know, and yeah.
That's weird.
That's what it comes down to.
Steve, you have that story about that cat. Tell that story.
How do you know about that story?
You told me the first time the first time I ever met you, I was just like, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen that you're just like, I can't explain that.
That was in Enfield, Connecticut. Good memory, Tori. Wow.
He's good like that.
I just rarely.
I mean, Steve doesn't even remember it.
Well, I do.
He's like, that never happened. Those, what are you talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's one of the things that when you see it, and for anybody that's had a real paranormal experience, or one that is quite vivid, you'll have a hard time sort of even accepting the fact that it is real, or that it happened, or that it could happen. But I did. I saw a cat going backwards and was kind of reaching out, trying to go forward. And that to me was always like, what am I seeing? This is crazy.
It's like the Matrix. Something's wrong in the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's a glitch.
That was in Enfield, Connecticut, with some great investigators. Yeah, some really, really good. Jay, I don't know if we should name, but Fran. Do you remember Fran?
Yep.
Fran and Keith, they were both on that case. But yeah, we saw that, and your brain just doesn't know what to make of it. You know, and you think of things like electrostatic repulsion or like crazy things. Your brain goes like, there's a way that it could actually happen, but how does a cat, like, I just can't explain it other than something paranormal. It really was pretty crazy. I don't talk about it often, which I can't even believe you remember that.
Well, I just, that picture of, because you're saying it was like clawing the ground, trying to like go forward, and it was like something was dragging it backwards and it didn't want to go.
Carpet.
It was just crazy, that like that visual.
You know, when it comes to the any sort of haunting, or is it real, is it not real, is it demonic, is it not demonic, is it just somebody who was a jerk when they were alive and maybe is still a jerk in death, and is, you know, intent can be quite, you know, valuable in the how. If you just think of how, right, demons, for instance, if you think that a demon, like a biblical demon, then you need to believe in all of the aspects of a biblical demon, right? You can't just pick and choose what you believe in and what you don't. It needs to be all powerful, all knowing, all seeing, all destroying, come from the kingdom of Christ, everything that a demon embodies. Do you really think it's going to like come around here? Now, it can traverse space and time. It's just a thought, or who knows how, but it's going to like come whisper, get out, into my digital recorder. Or like, you know, make the temperature go down or something. It would just say, humanity, you're gone. You know, is it possible? Sure. But is it probable? You know, I don't know.
Well, and that also opens up the whole other thing, Steve, where all these people who claim they're possessed, you never see somebody become possessed who's not religious. Because you have to be religious in order to to believe in possession in the first place. So the fact of the matter is, it just opens up so many cans of worms.
I remember when my dad passed, I was looking so hard for any sign that I could find. Like, I wanted that to happen. And I was sitting in my living room, and a wine bottle cork, for some reason, shot out of the wine bottle. And my dad loved me. He loved some wine. Like, Dennis loved some wine. And I was just like, all right, Dad, maybe that's the sign right there. I need to have a glass.
Time to drink.
You know, it's funny. So I was doing Beyond Reality Radio. We were like syndicated 108 channels, and I was in my basement and in my studio, and my father had passed away about a week prior. And my dad was a very strong man. You knew when he was around, and Steve, I think you'd agree with that. So it's just the way my father was. But I'm in a room, my door is on it's a piston door, so it's shut because it's a soundproof room. And for whatever reason, and this is the only time it ever happened, I'm sitting there, we're getting ready to go live, and the door opens up into the room. Now, that's impossible because it's on a piston that keeps it closed. And when it happened, I felt it was like I knew it was my father, because he just gave off this feeling when he was around. And I remember turning to Jimmy, who's I've got on video, because we're getting ready to go live, and I go, man, I need a few. So, and he was fine. So I signed off and just sat there and, you know, had a conversation with what I believed to be my father. But for that to happen a week after he passed away, and for a door that has never done that, still to this day, a piston activated door to open up coming in and then close. It was one of those things that you just like, wow.
And that would be something, you know, you would recognize that as your father, a presence. You felt that presence, so the intent is there. It makes sense, that
and
type
just
of
had
haunting.
That imposing energy when he was around. So, and it's like the minute it happened, you know, I could have thought it was anybody, but just for whatever reason, it made me feel just like I felt every time my father walked into a room.
All right, since you guys are our experts, will you like bust some?
There are no
some,
experts.
Well, you're our expert.
I'm right here.
but you know, we've investigated more than most others, so we have more experience. But yeah, it's
I can hear you.
I hate it when people call themselves experts of this field.
Will you bust some ghosty myths for us?
Sure. What do you got?
I've just got a random list of myths that I just tell us if you think they're true or not. Orbs in photos are spirits.
Bullshit.
Cold spots mean paranormal activity.
Okay.
I think that's definitive.
But the orbs, just understand, turn off the lights in your room. slap a pillow or shake a blanket and then take pictures, you're going to get orbs. That doesn't, they're not ghosts. They're dust particles, and the camera's pixelating around the dust or reflecting off of it, creating a circular.
I love it.
Yeah.
False.
And digital cameras soften the edges of
everything. They feather it. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Cold spots mean paranormal activity.
That's not true. No. And that's one of the claims are that things are drawing energy in to manifest themselves. So technically that would create a warm spot, not a cold spot. If you think about it, it would create a cold spot around in the whole other area, but that spot would be warm.
All right. Spirits can drain batteries and electronics.
You want to take it, Steve?
You know, when it comes to that, I don't think there's any direct relation or anybody supposedly thinking that anymore. Anyway, that it seems to be more weather related, you know, cold or going from extreme heat to extreme cold. But it has happened to us. I will say that all of a sudden our cameras are fully charged and they drain. So is it just something that happens during a haunting? Maybe. But I don't think that there's any entity, ghost, demon, or spirit looking at someone's camera and saying, I need that energy.
Yeah. Like, so it's a correlation versus causation.
Well, yeah. And sometimes when that happens, though, activity picks up. When your camera's batteries start to drain, all of a sudden, sometimes things start happening. So is it that they're sucking the energy out of it like a vampire? I don't think so. But for whatever reason, it seems that more active when that does happen.
All right. Ghosts only appear at night.
Not true. Just most claims are in between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. when the house is quiet. People are settling in after a long day of work. So that's when they experience things. And most claims that they experience are things that emit their own light. So that's why we investigate at night. First off, most of us have day jobs. Secondly, if things emit their own light, then turning off the lights and using IR, you're more prone to be able to catch something, document it.
And it's creepier to investigate at night.
True.
Nice ambience.
Mirrors and reflective surfaces attract spirits.
Zero chance. That's true.
No.
Salt circles protect you from ghosts.
No, but I mean, but then again, some religious beliefs fall within that realm. So I can't say yes or no on that. I can say if it empowers the person doing it by using it, then stick to it. But your strength comes in your belief. Just like when we've worked on possession type cases, if somebody is claimed that they're possessed, we're not going to bring in, if it's a Christian person, we're not going to bring in a Jewish individual to start preaching. It's more preaching their belief system to empower them.
Animals can see ghosts.
Well, I think they can see a hell of a lot more than we can. I mean, it's their senses are a hell of a lot sharper than ours. And we tested that with Maddie, a wild dog that I got that was from Tennessee. She was wild. She had never been domesticated. And we brought her on cases and she was picking up things where like high EMFs were. She'd flip out. And Whoa. We wouldn't even know it. We turn on the devices and find out that there's high electromagnetic fields in those areas. So, but I think animals are more prone to see things than humans. But yeah,
when it comes to animals, an interesting thing is they can certainly sense disruptions in the environment and the atmosphere. And I would kind of think that's maybe what is happening. For instance, their whiskers, right? They're using those to get around in the environment, to move around, sensing things in the magnetic field. If magnetic north is off a little bit, they feel a little funny. Like, why can't I get around and turn here?
We see what happens to birds. Birds, when the magnetic field gets shifted.
Yeah. So, you know, animals are kind of like, they may not be reacting to a ghost or something paranormal, but they're reacting to, this is weird all of a sudden, and I don't know why.
On that same note, you get false positives, though, from animals, because a lot of times people are like, it's always my cat sitting here staring in this corner all the time. And Steve and me have had the fun time of opening up the wall and finding that we just allowed a bunch of chipmunks free into somebody's house.
Wow. That happened to me. My dog kept like freaking out for the longest time. And it turns out I had a ton of mice in the walls. And it was just like, oh, okay.
These people were telling us that all this, you know, there's got to be something about it. We're like, can we open it? Yeah, we did. And there were like three pissed off chipmunks that took off through the house. And let me tell you, they might be cute, but they are mean little son of whatever.
Yeah, I would not mean. Like to be haunted by a chipmunk. So when it's Halloween, do you guys dress up as ghosts yourself? What kind of Halloween costume are you pulling? Or you just go as Ghostbusters?
I got six kids, three of which were daughters. So I spent 20 to 30 years of my life being the Beast, and they were Cinderella every damn year. I mean, they were Bella every damn year for like 25 years of my life. I don't dress up at all anymore. Screw that.
This year, I'm going to go as a 49-year-old tattooed bearded guy and see how I'm perceived. I haven't dressed up for Halloween since I was probably 15 or 16. I should probably start.
Yeah.
It's fun. More fun. Life would be more fun. What about you guys?
Always.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I think I'm going to do? I'm going to get my daughter. I'm going to cut her hair to look like Danny from The Shining. And I'm going to go as Jack, and my wife will be Wendy, and we're going to go as The Shining family.
So I am going to advocate for your daughter, and if you give that little girl a bowl cut, that will haunt you for the rest of your life.
Danny!
No! You can figure it out. Your wife is very creative. You can do her hair without cutting it. You can just like, rat it up to make a little bowl cut instead. And, you know, do it now before she has free will, because you're going to be up Princess Alley for a long time.
What are you guys working on now? Are you guys still, you're not filming, are you still shooting?
We were asked for a couple more years. And honestly, we just felt that network was going in a direction that we didn't want to be a part of. And so, I mean, we're kind of just doing our own thing now. I've been messing around doing some YouTube stuff. I saw Steve's been doing some video stuff as well. So, I mean, just having fun.
You have so many unaired episodes. You could probably just do an entire season on YouTube of the stuff that you guys already did. Just, you know, the cutting room floor episodes.
That would be nice. But yeah, I think you guys know that's kind of not how contracts work.
Well, thank you guys. This has been so fun, because I love talking all of this like spooky stuff during Halloween time. And you guys you're the perfect balance of science and spooky.
Guys, it's been awesome. You know, it's been a while since we've all seen each other. So it's been a while since you've thrown a bottle of water at me at Dragon Con there, Karen.
Sometimes I wild out just a little hard at these things.
No, that wasn't your fault. That was, you know, Grant was throwing stuff, and all of a sudden a bottle of water came from nowhere.
All right, before you guys go, we're in October. It's almost Halloween. What's your favorite horror movie?
Go ahead, Steve.
Woo! Well, as any horror movie fan knows, that is almost impossible. It's a very fluid, but I'd say, all in all, The Thing, John Carpenter, The Thing, yes. Rob Bottin, the whole thing. Everything about it, and Return of the Living Dead. I'd say back and forth.
See, I should have gone first, because I was going to say The Thing. You know, him and I have always talked about that. It's one of the best movies.
I love you guys.
Awesome. Love you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. It's so good to catch up and see you. It's been forever.
Let's see you at the next convention.
Absolutely. Yeah. See you guys soon.
Welcome back, MythFits. Oh my gosh, it was so fun to talk to our old friends. Like, it's funny. We meet the most interesting people in this line of work. And the fact that we used to go to these conventions and just like make these long friendships with just the most fascinating people with the craziest careers.
Yeah. And just great guys. Like, God, they have become such good friends over the years, because we would see them a few times a year at these conventions. But, you know, the thing that brought us together was this agent who ripped us all off. Like, I remember we were leaving a convention, and somebody came up to us and said, look, your agent is stealing from you. He used to be my agent. He stole from me. You need to get rid of him. And it was because of her. And we had suspected, because I remember we were at the convention when I was there on Friday. You and Grant were like doing a talk somewhere, and then you guys showed up on Saturday. So I was there by myself on Friday, and it was busy, but not crazy, right? And I counted the money, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't look good for the talent to deal with the money. I'm like, it's not that it's not that busy. I'll just take care of it. And so then the next day, it was nuts. Like, we were slammed. We had a line all day long. And they were like, we'll take the money and we're going to go count it for you guys. And stupidly, it was like, oh, okay. And then when it came back, I made less money on Saturday than I did on Friday. And I'm all, how is that possible? They completely stole all of our money. And in fact, remember there was one convention that we went to and we talked to the promoter after and we're like, did we get an appearance fee? Because they told us we didn't get one. And he's like, yeah, you Carrie and Grant, you each would have gotten a certain amount. And our agent took it.
Man, shady. Yeah, shady, we've had to learn the hard way through this business. We weren't showbiz people. We were trying to figure it out all on our own. It was, anyway, at least out of it, we got friends.
We got great friends. Yeah, totally.
And a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah,
totally. A little bit of wisdom. All right, Tori, this is the time in the show where we get a fan question, a MythFit question, and we pull it from Instagram or YouTube. So are you ready for today's?
All right, Carrie, this one is for you from Kevin Myers. Ooh, like Michael Myers, but Kevin Myers. Carrie, did you keep the Freddy Krueger bear claws you used on Duct Tape Plane?
Yes, actually, the part of my studio you can't see. Hold on. Oh, God, these are so freaking heavy. I've got the bear claws.
Oh, my God.
They're fully made of steel, and they're super sharp. Every time I've moved them around, I have, hurt myself just a little bit. And I thought about at one point, when we were doing auctions for the Grant Imahara Steam Foundation, I was thinking of doing like an eBay auction for them or something. Mm-hmm. But they're so heavy and they're so dangerous. I can't even imagine trying to ship these. It would be more than you'd ever get to raise money for. Anyway, so I just keep them in my office with all of my other weaponry.
And they'd probably have to sign a waiver so they wouldn't sue you for hurting themselves.
If you broke into my house, the weird weapons that I could pull out, can you imagine, right? It's dark. You're trying to rob my house and I'm just going to jump out with like these Freddy Krueger claws and just be like, oh, get out of my house.
Those things are so badass.
They're so Wolverine.
Oh my God. The damage you could do with those.
Dude, I had so much fun making those on the show. Like I spent the longest time just sharpening them and they worked so good. There's still bits of duct tape stuck to it, actually. I guess I never cleaned these because
that's awesome.
That's from the duct tape plane episode where a bear tears apart an airplane and you fix the whole thing with duct tape and see if it can fly. It did.
Dude, you were nuts. I remember you had you were wearing like a teddy bear like hat and you're just going crazy. Good times.
Is there anything weird that you've kept from the show that like is sort of creepy and Halloween-y?
Yes.
What do you have?
Like one of the creepiest things I have was from the superhero punch.
The ring punch.
The ring punch when he punches the guy's face and he leaves an impression on his forehead.
It was Punisher, right?
Yeah. And so I have
the skull. I made that.
This is a human skull.
You know how you can tell that I made that human skull rig?
Because there's a little flower on top.
There's like flowers painted on it, trying to make it sweet and nice.
It's cute.
It's like cute, dark and pretty.
And creepy.
All at the same
cute
time.
And creepy.
It was creepier when there was skin stretched across it.
Oh, yeah, the pig skin. Whoa.
Yeah. And then I got to carve the ring that was used for the punching. And I believe the old Eric Haven, he got that in when we dismantled Mythbusters because it was like a cool superhero-y kind of thing. And he's comic book guy.
I remember we were testing punch power and we had this metal plate that, would take pressure. And I put on a glove and I hit it as hard as I could. And I actually cracked my knuckle. My hand swelled up. Like it was so huge. And then after, they took me to the emergency room just to check it out. Then the producers came in and they're like, oh, we found a soft version that you could put on a punching bag. And I'm like, that would have been helpful too. So dumb. I'm just going to hit this piece of metal as hard as I can.
Dude, but you did it. Like, wow. The devotion to the show to do this stuff.
I'm an idiot, Carrie.
Or are you just like so into your job that you're going to do it full on no matter what they throw at you?
No.
You're a hard worker.
It's like the camera's rolling and you just start doing dumb stuff. That's what it is.
All right. Well, before we leave today, can you tell me what are your favorite horror movies? And then on the site, I want to put up a post somewhere so that we can kind of take a poll of what all the misfits, like what are their favorite horror movies?
Yeah. Well, so obviously Halloween is my favorite horror movie.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Amazing.
Amazing. But then The Shining. Love The Shining.
Yep.
The Exorcist. Great horror movie. I could go on and on. But those are my top three. Those are like my three that I'm going to throw out. How about you?
I mean, I agree with those. I really do. I also, just for the fun comedy aspect, I always loved Evil Dead 2. Oh, I just think Bruce Campbell is the funnest character. His chin alone could be the character. I love all the Sam Raimi kind of stuff. It's so good.
And Howard Berger did the effects for that movie. If you guys haven't seen that episode, go back.
Yeah.
Howard Berger, special effects makeup artist.
Good full circle. I like that.
Yes.
Do you remember all the Annabelle movies, right?
Yeah.
So that whole genre is based on a real story, you know, of a possessed doll that things happen. And I read a news article recently where a journalist was, I think he was writing a story on Annabelle, and he was around the real doll, and then he mysteriously just dies of natural causes. Did you see that?
Yes.
So when I was a kid, the doll that is the original Annabelle doll, not the scary one from the movie, but it's like a Raggedy Ann. I had that doll as a kid.
Ooh. I think that's huge. Even creepier because it's a cute doll. It's Raggedy Ann. The one that they made for the movie, it's like, oh yeah, I get it. It's an evil doll. Like it was like two on the head. I loved it was two on the nose. Like it's like, oh, here's this creepy doll. It's gotta be possessed. I think it's creepier when it's a cute little, oh my God, it's a child's toy. And that's the evil thing.
So my grandmother used to make dolls for us. Like my dad's side of the family, they were just obsessed with dolls. Like a lot, they were always making dolls. Like they tried to make homemade Cabbage Patch Kids for us. They made these life-size Raggedy Ann and Andys for us. Like my aunt used to collect dolls. Like dolls are just, they're just creepy. They're really creepy. And getting dolls that are as big as you when you're a kid. It's weird.
That's scary. Man,
it's so weird. So here is a picture of me at my great aunt's house, right? And her house was like, I talked about my great aunt Betty earlier.
How old are you there?
Gosh, I must be about five.
You have your name on your shirt.
I always had my name on my shirt, even at Mythbusters for some reason. I don't know why. People, like as a
just
kid,
so they remembered
my mom,
your name.
Which my mom would just iron my name on my shirt, but like,
is that look Summer? No, that's Carrie. Okay.
So like I would spend summers at this house that had dolls everywhere, right?
No wonder why you're so weird, Carrie.
Yeah. I mean, I carve creepy dolls to this day because I grew up in this house with these freaking, you know, like I would spend every summer with dolls everywhere. And like, whether you believe in ghosts or not, it's just weird. Like these dolls are just weird. They're made with eyes that are glass. They look like they have real human hair. And some of them were the same size as my little sister. And we would just like dress my sister up as one of the dolls and just like have her stand with them and take pictures.
That is so creepy.
But yeah, my grandmother at one point made us the Andy and Ann dolls. And so I had the Annabelle dolls, and it was a lot more like Poltergeist, where it was like the clown was the creepy doll. So these creepy dolls didn't scare me at my great aunt's house. But the Raggedy Ann and Andys, I swear their shiny little eyes were always staring at me.
Yeah, that's the creepy part, because they're so cute. No wonder why you're such a weirdo.
I know. It's true. That's also the aunt that like told me so many ghost stories. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us again on this episode of Mythfits.
Please, Carrie? It's Halloween. Tori and I love this time of year. Would you guys populate Instagram, YouTube, all the social media with your ghost stories? with your favorite Halloween movies. Like, subscribe, and come back for more weirdness on the next MythFits podcast.
Yeah, let's do this. Stay creepy, MythFits.
Stay creepy, MythFits.
Pioneer.